in that regard, then it's really incumbent upon us to understand the nature of our perceptions. Where do we get the perceptions that run our biology? It's not so much the positive working perceptions that I'm really concerned about. What I'm really trying to bring our attention to are our misperceptions. And the reason for that is simply obvious. If we are misperceiving the environment, then by the nature of that definition, we are misrunning the nature of our biology. Meaning, if the wrong information is getting to the cells are engaging behavior that is inappropriate. And it turns out this is the primary cause of the problems of humans on this planet. It is not their physiology. It is their perceptual vision of the planet that we live on. So in understanding the source of perception, let's consider three different sources that collectively contribute to the perceptions that run our lives. The three sources are as follows. One is instincts. Perceptional responses that we don't actually have to learn. Instincts are provided with the genetics of the machinery. We're born with instincts. Instincts are behaviors that are simple stimulus response mechanisms that require no thinking. So, for example, if I take a rubber mallet and hit your knee, your leg will kick. It had nothing to do with processing any information. It was simple reflex. The stimulus of the mallet engages the muscle of the leg without even bringing the brain into it. Instincts are essentially no-brainers. They can be carried out without any thoughts at all. If a child puts its hand into a fire, it will immediately pull its hand back out of the fire by instinct. Why? Because the muscles that will yank the hand out are directly connected to the pain receptors in the skin. It doesn't require conscious processing. So instincts are provided to humans through the genetics that we acquire at birth. And there's a large variety of instincts. Some of them are simple things, such as the reflex of hitting your knee and kicking your leg. But other instincts are very, very complex. For example, all mammals are born with the ability or instinct to know how to swim, a very complex behavior involving the swimming muscles and the breathing apparatus and the coordination thereof. That a baby can come out of the birth canal underwater and instantaneously swim like a porpoise or a dolphin, come up to the top of the water and take its first breath naturally by exposing its face to the air, then turning around and going back into the water again. All of this is an elaborate, extensive behavioral program that is provided by instincts. However, the vast majority of perceptions that run our lives did not come from instincts. They were acquired from our experiences on the planet. As we learn to experience things, especially things that repeat themselves, we start to recognize that our perceptions become automatic and more habitual. And the reason for this is that perceptions that are repeated over and over again are built into what is called the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is a database not just of the instincts that we talked about before, but of all of our habitual learned perceptions. These are things that are stored that require no conscious processing. For example, initially when you learned how to walk, it was actually more or less kind of a conscious effort. You were trying to stand up and identify, well, which muscles you contract and which muscles you relax to stay in balance. And to move, all of a sudden the momentum caused a different switching on and off of muscles to keep us in balance. The amount of muscles that have to be activated in just the walking process are so numerous that we can't even actually deal with them in our conscious mind. There's just too many different controls that have to be dealt with. But this is where the benefit of the subconscious mind comes from, because once the mechanisms were acquired, the subconscious mind stores the program for walking. Now think about it. You don't have to be conscious of walking. The subconscious are automated programs that require no conscious contribution, except for the fact of the intention. If I want to go from A to B, that's the intention, and walking, of course, is the mechanism. So as I go from A to B, I don't stop and then focus on, okay, move my right leg, now move my left leg, etc. I just have the intention. The subconscious mind is a very powerful information processor and can carry out that very complex behavior. But there's a very interesting aspect about the subconscious mind, and that is it works in tandem with the third source of our perceptions, which I'll get into, called the conscious mind. The conscious mind is the creative mind. The conscious mind is the volitional mind. It's the mind that's associated with our identity of self. It's the mind that is apparently associated with our spiritual identity as well. That this is a unique mind. This is a creative mind. It's live time. It can create anything brand new. This is very different than the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is not creative at all. Subconscious mind is the equivalent of a tape player. I record a program into the subconscious mind, and that program will play forever until I rewrite that program. The subconscious mind doesn't even have anybody in there. And this is very critical because the subconscious mind may have many, many behaviors that are actually damaging to us or destructive to us or even causing us pathologies. And there's nobody in that subconscious mind to say, oh, this behavior is good and this behavior is bad. Subconscious mind has no one. It's the equivalent, as I said, of a tape player. We recorded a behavior, and anytime the stimulus shows up that is associated with that behavior, we will immediately make a playback of exactly that behavior. And the relevance about that is then, more or less, this is a self-operating mechanism once we've programmed it. And then I go back to the conscious mind. I say, yeah, but that conscious mind, that's the beautiful part of humans. That's the part that is actually connected with the concept of free will. It's the conscious mind that has the ability at any one point to observe a programmed behavior playing from the subconscious mind and say, stop, I want to play something very different right now. The conscious mind is powerful in that regard. But then we've also overestimated the power of that conscious mind. As a physical process, let me compare the two minds so that we understand the power, where it lies in the subconscious-conscious mind subdivision. And it goes like this. The subconscious mind actually represents the operation of almost the entire brain. For the simple reason is this. Consciousness was an add-on in evolution. Before consciousness existed, the brain essentially was carrying out all the functions that we attribute to the subconscious. It was a reflexive behavior. Many organisms are totally reflexive because it's a stimulus response mechanism dealt with by their brain, and they may not have conscious centers to consider why they're doing what they're doing or what they are actually doing. The subconscious mind is a million times more powerful a processor of information than is the conscious mind, the little add-on piece that becomes what we call the forebrain. And so all of a sudden I say, well, okay, if I had to compete between the power of the two minds, right away I have to recognize this. The subconscious mind is a million times more powerful than our conscious minds. And therefore, if I have programs in my conscious mind and programs in my subconscious mind, the tendency is the programs in the subconscious mind will overpower ultimately the programs of the conscious mind. And yet, here's the interesting relationship that it requires very fundamental attention, and that is this. The two minds work in tandem. The conscious mind can actually control any function in the human body. We used to think the conscious mind could only control what are called voluntary functions, like moving your arms and legs, etc. But we now know, through the work of yogis, for example, that we can control everything, even things we thought involuntary, such as blood pressure, body temperature, heartbeat. All these other kinds of things can be controlled with the conscious mind. Conscious mind can control every aspect of our humanity. Except here's the problem. The conscious mind is a limited processor. Data-wise, it's been suggested that the subconscious mind can handle about 40 million bits of data per second, and yet the conscious mind in that same second can only handle about 40 bits of data. And that's why we see the million times more powerful character of the subconscious mind when comparing the two.